We're holding in the middle of the parak. Basically, what we're talking about so far is we're going through parak tzadik beis of Tehillim, which is Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. They were saying that Adam Rishon said Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos after he realized the power of tshuva, and he did tshuva for his chait. So and he saw that Shabbos has a special koyach to help a person be saved from einish of averus. So he said Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. So basically what the Menashe is doing at this point is going through that whole chapter of Tehillim line by line and explaining what Adam Rishon meant in each line of that chapter. So up to the words Ali Osar v'Ali Novel. This week I brought my art school Tanakh with me, so I have the translation. Ali Osar v'Ali Novel, that's Perek, Pasuk Dalad in Tzadik Beis. It says, Ali Osar v'Ali Novel. Osar upon a 10-stringed instrument, that's an osar, and upon a lyre. A lyre is another stringed instrument. So Adam Rishon is saying that I'm gonna praise Hashem with an osar, alei novel, and the end of the pasuk is alei higayon bichinor, which they translated as with singing accompanied by a harp. Higayon is not necessarily singing; it means like an expression, like lahagot is like to. Sometimes it means to toil, sometimes it means to pronounce, and sometimes higayon also means logic. So we have to know exactly what that means. But that's the puzzle. Alei osar alei novel alei higayon. So what does it mean? Alei osar alei osar, we said, is a 10-stringed instrument. I don't know exactly what it means, but it means some sort of 10-stringed instrument. So now the manager is going to talk about the significance of the number 10 in regard to various things in Yiddishkeit. Kol edus nemenes l'Yisrael ba'asara. Any edus nemenes in Klal Yisrael is with 10. What this means, you could read it in sort of in two ways. It could mean edus nemenes, or instead of nemenes, reliable or believable. It says nemeres. It's said about 10. Either it means, as some of Farshim say, that it's talking about. Or edus, meaning not a lashon of testimony, but edus, a lashon of congregation, a gathering of Jews. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin and the Ayin Dalad Medes learns from a pasuk of Hibadlu mitecha eda hazais, that an eda means 10 people, and the inyan of that, the Kiddush Hashem, that's the context over there, is that when you're Mekadesh Shem Hashem in front of 10 Jews. So when we want to talk about an Eidus in Klal Yisrael is 10 people. Others understand that Eidus is talking about testimony, and then the question is like, what does testimony have to do with the number 10? Okay. Hakinor shohe menagin by David ba'asara nimin. The kinor, the harp that David and Malach would play, had 10 strings on it. Are those other midrashim that say they had 8 strings? No? Is there such a thing? That there's like 7 strings, and then the Asid Lovid is going to be 8 strings. I seem to remember such a thing.
8 is the
8th note.
The scale, the octave, one octave. 8 is octave. There's 7 in one, I think, I'm saying correctly, there's 7 in one octave, and the 8th is the other, the next octave, right?
Right.
C and
Do, Re,
C.
Mi, something, I don't know. How's it go?
The Arab scroll brings that in Asid Lovid, it's going to be 10.
It's going to be 10. Ah.
Whatever
that means, because scientifically we don't know exactly what that means, but
which is now limited to octave of 8 notes. It says it's now limited to octave, but ever, but in the future it'll be 10.
Okay.
That doesn't say that in the future it'll be 10, but that's what this will be, the instrument of.
So the problem is I never really studied music, so I don't understand how any of these things work. I just listen to it. I don't know how to play it. I don't know. So
cats. Listen to
the cats. Yeah. What's the significance of the fact that his harp has 10 strings? So Rabbi Liomi Izmir says a nice vart over here. He says that he brings a medrash Ois Yisr B'Kiva. It says in Ois Yisr B'Kiva, in the beginning of Ois Aleph, it says Lo Yibara Kadosh Baruch Hu Es Olamai El Kadesh Yomer Shira Lefanov. Kadosh Baruch Hu only created the world so that people could say song in front of him. But we find in the Gemara different places, and in Chazal different places, that Chizkiyahu Melech would have been Mashiach if he would have sang Shira by the victory over Sancheriv. He could have been Mashiach, but since he didn't sing Shira, so he lost it. And we find that some of the Rishonim say that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished by the Mei Meriva, not for hitting the rock per se, but for the fact that he didn't sing Shira right after the rock gave water. There's other different mafreshim about that. The whole tachlis of the world is to say shira, to thank Hashem and to praise Hashem. In fact, he brings from the Tikkun Isaiah that the Tikkun Isaiah says that the word bereshis is oisiyos tov shir, tov alf beis space shin yud resh. Tov shir means he desires song. So bereshis, which is the beginning of the creation, is referring is a remez to Hashem desiring song. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesava shir. So David HaMelech Dafka used a harp that had 10 strings in order to be meramis to this inyan. Because we know the Mishnah and the Avos says that Basar Mamaris Nivra Olam, the world was created with 10 utterances. So the 10 string, the 10 of the harp represents the 10 utterances that Hashem used to create the world. And that was the harp that David HaMelech used to praise Hashem. And he's saying that this is the tachlis of the world, to bring out the praise of Hashem through song. Eidus bris mila basara. An eidus of a bris mila, the testimony, I guess, of a bris mila, is with 10 people. The halacha, the mafarshim bring down that the halacha is that lechatchila, you're supposed to, when you do a bris mila, you're supposed to do it in front of 10 people. And the hagoyes min hagim and the maril bring down that the source of that is this pirkei de Eliezer, that you're supposed to do it in front of 10 people. But so we paskin that b'di'eved, if you can't get 10 people, then you know, b'shas atak or whatever, b'di'eved, you could do a bris with less than 10 people. But l'chatchila, you're supposed to do 10 people. Eidus hameis ba'asara. The testimony of a mace, of a dead person, is with 10. What does that mean? Well, Reb Chaim Falachi also doesn't know what that means. He says, I don't know what it's talking about. Lo pirash ketzad hu the bay. Sorry, he doesn't know why the testimony of a dead person needs a sara. But the Radal in Ois Chavhei says that the way the Radal seems to learn it, it's talking about Kaddish or Birkas Avelim, these type of things that you need 10 people, dafka. Eidus Birkas Hashem ba'asara. The Eidus of Birkas Hashem is with 10 people. So I would have understood that it's talking about, let's say, Kiddush Hashem, that if a person, Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem is totally in, if there's 10 Jews over there, but the Radal says, no, it's a deichik to say such a pshat. Now he, and as well as the Marzu, explained that what we're talking about over here is a Dovash B'Kedusha. When you bench, and you say, Shem Hashem, Nevoich Lekeinu Shalchal Mishalai, or when you daven Ma'ariv, you say, Boruch Hashem Mevoich, or you're saying Kedusha, so all these things, you need 10 people together. So that's the Indian of 10. Dorish HaBekdusha. Maybe we'll speak a little bit about benching with 10 people in a few minutes. But Eidus Chalitza, also Basara. The Eidus of Chalitza also needs 10 people. Now you know what Chalitza is, right? That when a person's brother dies childless, so you're supposed to marry his widow. If you don't want to marry her, so you do a ceremony called Chalitza in order to allow her to get married to somebody else. Right? That's what Chalitza more or less is. So the Gemara actually says that Chalitza is supposed to be done with 5 people. 3 Dayanim, and then 2 whatever, even Ab Arts, you're allowed to bring in whoever you want for Chalitza. But the Gemara says you need 5 people. So here, Pirkei de Eliezer is, I guess, arguing on the Gemara and saying, no, not 5, you need 10 people. The most of the Haggai, I talk about this in my Sefer on Yevamos on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. The Haggai's Maimonides and Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza and Perek Dalet says that you need 10 people for Chalitza, and he brings this Pirkei de Eliezer as his source. And the Shulchan Aruch in Seder Chalitza paskins that you need 10 in Sif Yud Gimel and Seder Chalitza, paskins you need 10 people for Chalitza, and he says, but at least 5. So like the Gemara is saying 5, and the Pirkei de Eliezer is saying 10, and we're machmer like Pirkei de Eliezer, you need 10, but the B'di'evit or B'shas HaTark or whatever, you can use 5 like the Gemara says. That's the pashas of the sugya, that it's machlokes or something like that, and Pirkei de Eliezer is machmer, and that's rechishish for this shita halacha. The pirsh that you guys have on the bottom, the Bayis HaGadol, he says something interesting. He says, what does it mean that you need 10 people? He says that you need 5. The fachas yu hey chutz mei dayanim. You need 5 people to be there except for the dayanim. So meaning you have 3 dayanim plus 5 other people. And who are those 5 people? So he says that the cholitz and the chalutza are included. The guy doing chalitza and the woman receiving chalitza are included in the 10. So you need 5 dayanim, like the Gemara says, or three dayanim plus two extra people that lav dafka have to be dayanim mamish, plus the guy doing chalitza and the woman doing chalitza, I guess is going to be seven, and then you need like an extra three people. That doesn't seem like what the Pesachim were talking about. It seems like the Pesachim understood that Pirkei Avot was saying you need 10. Who said that the guy doing chalitza and the woman getting chalitza, they count as part of the 10? They definitely don't count as part of the 5. You need dayanim and then extra witnesses. We're talking about edus. You need the Gemara says the reason why you need extra people is so that people will know about it. Because otherwise people say, oh wait, that lady, her husband died childless, so how is she able to get married to somebody else? So we want people to talk about this more than, let's say, even a divorce, so people will know that she did chalitza. So that's why you get extra people. So why is he including the person doing chalitza and the woman getting chalitza? I don't know. I think it's very interesting.
According to what I have, it says it's coming from Ibn Ezra.
That's what I quoted for you. Sim kuf samach tes sif yud gimel. That's the Shulchan Aruch that paskins like the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and that says you need 10, and then it says at least 5. But that I don't see that's the source of it. I'm not sure. It could be he had a different way of understanding it. Yeah. Agav, we had a similar thing earlier in Perek Ches when we were talking about Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Gemara had a whole machlokes. We and in Midrashim, how many people we need in order to say that there's going to be an Ibrior, right? Not Kiddush HaChodesh, Ibror Hashana. How many people you need? Does you need 3? You need 5? Whatever different shitas. And Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer said you need 10. So Rabbi Eliezer, I mean Abbasar in Perek Ches. But over here, for some reason, I didn't mention that. Okay, and then the last one of the 10 is Eidus Pirkas Nisuin Basara. The Eidus that you need for Pirkas Nisuin, for what we call Shava Brachas, you need 10 people. Shenemar, now this is interesting, because it says in the Pasuk, in Rus, Vayikach Asara Anoshim, and he took 10 men. Talking about Boaz, when Boaz was going to marry Ruth, so he took 10 men and he got together and they made Shavu Brachas when he decided to marry her. Yeah.
Is this halacha?
Is what halacha?
Then you need 10 men for
Nisuin. You need not for the Nisuin, to say the brachas of Birkas Chasanim. Yes, that's halacha. You need 10 men.
But you don't need that to have Nisuin. Nisuin can happen just without the brachas.
Yes, but there's also the fact that the Mishnah, the first Brisa in Masechas Kala says Kala b'lo bracha aser kenida. So the brachas are ma'akev also in the Nisuin. But you want to know?
Because
technically, what's the difference between kedushin and Nisuin? So let's say the difference is if you're allowed to do hafaras nadarim for her, right? So let's say you do kedushin and then you do Nisuin in front of 10 people. And then you can't do Bia because it's also because you didn't do Shavu Brachas. So the Shaila is, could you be made for her Nadarim? I think you could.
Because before the Shoah, they used to do 3 people, the Rav and the Kapu, before the Shoah. Because they would be trying to escape and would be a problem of Yichud, so that they used to do a Nisuyan there.
Interesting.
3 people. So that's why I'm asking. That was what's going on then.
Yeah, I know. I never heard such a thing, but that's okay. So the last thing is that when you have a gathering to do Birkas Chasanim, you need 10 people. We learned that from Boaz that he took 10 men. Now, the Gemara in Maseches Ksubis, this is a side discussion, but it's a shtickle interesting. The Gemara Maseches Ksubis says on Daf Zayinim Adbeis, the Gemara brings two sources. How do you know that you need 10 people for Birkas Chasanim? Rav Nachman, Omar li huna bar nosan, Tana, minayin the Birkas Chasanim basar. How do you know Birkas Chasanim means 10 people? Shenamar, says the pasuk, vayikach asara anoshim mizikne ya'ir. That's this pasuk we're talking about Boaz. Rabbi Abohu Omar, Rabbi Abohu says, no, it's a different pasuk. You learn it behacha from this pasuk. B'makelis baruch lalikim Hashem mimik Yisrael. In a gathering, b'makelos, baruch elikim, Hashem. They blessed our God, Hashem. Mimikur Yisrael, from the source of Yisrael. And I think Rashi says, or somebody says, that Mimikur Yisrael is talking about getting married. That's the source. Yeah, Rashi says that basically.
Yeah, oh, that's not Rashi. Mikor is the wedding, and then you have children, right. And that's the Mikor.
Is that Rashi? I don't know.
I think it's the next line of the Gemara.
Oh, maybe. I don't remember. Yeah, where's the next line? Yeah, okay, the Gemara basically says that. Al Iski Mikor. There we go. Al Iski Mikor. Fine. So we have two sources for the halacha that you need 10 people for Birkas Nisur. Now later on in the Gemara, in the next daf, on Daf Ches, Amar Aleph, and Amar Beis, the Gemara says the halacha, that we pass in halacha l'maisa, that chasana min aminyan ve'en havelu min aminyan. When you need 10 people for Birkas Chasanim, and 10 people for Birkas Havelim, we said before, Eidos Alameis, right? So there's a difference between Birkas Chasanim and Birkas Havelim. Birkas Chasanim, the chosin himself is part of the minyan. Meaning, really, you don't need 10 people, you really need 9 people plus the chosin, then you have your minyan. But by an Avol, so an Avol, he's not included, you need 10 people besides the Avol in order to make the Birkas Havelim. That's what the Gemara says, and that's basically where we come out. Halacha l'maisa, that the chosin is min a minyan. Yeah? So now, let's think back. How could it be that how could you learn out the inyan that you need 10 people for Birkas Chasanim from Boaz? Boaz took 10 people. Why did he take 10 people? He took 9. Why dafka 10? So the Drisha, Prisha, which one is it? The Drisha says that these two sources for the halacha of whether you need of whether you learn out from Boaz or you learn out from Malkelis Baruch Hashem, the machlekes between those two sources is also telling the machlekes if the chosin is in the minyan or not. And since we pass in the chosin is in the minyan, so we hold kilo halacha l'maisa. We don't learn enough from the pasuk of Boaz. We learn enough from the pasuk of Malkelis Baruch Hashem Hashem Mekar Yisrael. We don't learn enough from that pasuk, right? And the Gemara says that according to the Mandamah that says Bim Achilles Borchol Kim Hashem Mekor Yisrael, so it says, so why did Boaz take 10 men? Why does it say that Boaz took 10 men? What do you do with that pasuk? So the Gemara says that he took 10 men that had nothing to do with Birkas Chasanim. It had to do with the fact that he was marrying Rus, and Rus was a Mayavia, and people didn't realize that we say that Amoini Vloy Amoinis Mayavi Vloy Mayavis, and people would have thought it's Osir. So he took 10 people in order to be mefarsim the halacha that we say amayni v'lay amaynis, that's how we paskin. That's what the Gemara says. But if you look in Pirkei d'Eliezer, we said that the source is that you need 10 people from Boaz. So why did Boaz take 10 people? What's the source from Boaz? Really, you only need 9 people. 9 people plus the chassan. So Boaz didn't have to take himself. So I think it's a good question. You see, the Bais HaGadol basically sort of asks this question. But if you look in the Mefarshim, they say some very interesting ideas. Why Boaz took 10 people, and it has to do with Birkas Nisuin, but still we hold Halacha L'maisa that you only need 9, really. For example, Chasam Sofer, Maseches Ksubos, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, says two answers. One answer is like this. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Testament Beis, says, brings a shita. We don't pass him like this shita, but the Gemara brings such a shita that says that if you have 3 people from Mizumin, so what do you say? You say Nevarich Shachan Mishalei. You say, let's say Rabbi Sain Nevarich, right? Well, let's bench. But if you have 4 people, so then the guy leading benching will say to the other guys, Baruchu. Meaning, the shaila is, what's the nusach? Do we say Baruch Shalchan Mishalei? Or no, I'm sorry. When you say, talk about 10 people, I'm sorry. Talk about 10 people. We say Baruch Halikinu Shalchan Mishalei, yeah? So that, when you say Baruch Halikinu Shalchan Mishalei, you're including yourself. The Gemara brings a shita that says that if you have 10 people besides the guy leading, so you didn't say Baruch Halikinu Shalchan, you say Baruch Halikinu Shalchan Mishalei. That you guys should bench Hashem, and then they say it, and then he answers back. But if it's 10 people, including him, then he joins with them, and he says Baruch. He doesn't say Baruchu. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say that it could be that according to this opinion, l'chadchila you should have 10 people plus another person, plus, let's say, plus the guy leading it. So he wanted to say that that's why Boaz took 10 people besides himself, so that when they benched by the Chasana, they could say Baruch Hu Elikeinu Shulchan Mishlei instead of Baruch Elikeinu Shulchan Mishlei, according to that opinion in the Gemara. We don't pass like that opinion anyways, but that's what the one Pshat Chassam Sefer says. The other Pshat Chassam Sefer says is also based on a Pshat in the Gemara, on some Rishonim that we don't pass in like, that they say that, you know, there's a lacha that when you make Sheva Brachas, so you need Panim Chadashas, right? You need a new face in order to we spoke about it in one of the earlier Prakim about Panim Chadashas. So the question is, you make Sheva Brachas by the Chuppah, right? And then after the Chuppah, let's say you make the wedding meal, right? The wedding meal, again, you're going to make Sheva Brachas by benching of the wedding meal. So maybe you should be Panim Chadashas by the Suda of the wedding meal itself. So you have to find somebody who wasn't there by the Chuppah that was there Dafka by the meal. Is there such a halacha or not? So we hold that, if I'm not mistaken, we hold that there's no such halacha. You don't need Panim Chadashas for the first meal, because the first meal itself is already a high darga of Simcha. But there are Rishonim that say, no, you already said Sheva Brachas by the Chuppah, so you need Panim Chadashas to say it again by the first meal. So Chassam Sefer says that it could be that Boaz held like that opinion, that you need Panim Chadashas to say Sheva Brachas by the first meal. So he took 10 people. Why? 9 people to be there by the Chuppah, so 9 plus him is 10 for the Sheva Brachas by the Chuppah, and then a 10th guy, so that when they have the Suda by the Chasana, you have a 10th guy there, so you have Panim Chadashas, so you can make the Bracha again. That's what the Chassam Sefer says. The Erech Shai, who's one of the great Hungarian Paiskim, says in Evan Ezra Simon Samach Beis, he says an even wilder Teretz. He says, really, Boaz only took, really you only need 9 people plus yourself, and that's 10 for Sheva Brachas. But why did Boaz take Dafka 10 people? Because if he would have had a minyan mitzumtzum, an exact minyan of Dafka 9 people plus himself, so he says, what would happen, this is like, it's still crazy, but listen to this. What would happen if some guy from outside wandered into the Ezra's Nashim? So then you'll have a problem of Yichud, because none of the guys from the men's side will want to go to the women's side to break the Yichud, because then they're going to lose the minion. So he had an extra guy, so that in case somebody goes into the Ezra's Nashim, he can go into the Ezra's Nashim and make it that there's 2 men there, and then there won't be a problem of Yichud. It's a shikul wild shot, but that's what he says. It's a Paiskim and Simon Samech Beis also discusses this issue, but it's not interesting. And this an interesting sidebar. Okay, going back to Mizmor Shel Shabbos. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ani Reitze Mi Yisrael Hegyen Pihem Banevel V'Chinar. Says, I want from Klal Yisrael the expressions of their mouth Banevel V'Chinar, with through a navel is a lyre, V'Chinar, and a harp. What do you mean you want the expressions of their mouth through a harp and a lyre? You don't talk through a harp and a lyre. So the Radal, of course, changes the gist to Kenevel V'Chinar, like a harp and a lyre. Meaning, Hashem wants to hear from us, and it's as sweet to Him as a harp and a lyre. It's beautiful music, what comes out of our mouth. Shneimar, it says in the Pasuk, Alei Higayon B'Chinar. Upon the article translated as singing accompanied by a harp. I said before that Higayon doesn't necessarily mean singing, but that's what article says. Fine. Next Pasuk is, we're saying, okay, now what other Marishan is going to say is saying, I'm going to say all these praises of Hashem. Now we're getting into, like, why? What are you thanking Hashem for? What are you so happy about? So it says, Kisimachtani Hashem befolecha b'meisei yadecha agani. Art scroll. Kisimachtani Hashem befolecha, for you have gladdened me, Hashem, with your deeds, befolecha, b'meisei yadecha agani, at the works of your hands, I sing glad song. What?
I'll sing joyfully.
Steer an art scroll. Okay, so what's this? What did Hashem? What does it mean that Hashem gladdened him through his deeds? What are the deeds of Hashem that gladdened the Adam Rishon? Simchan Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Adam. Adam said, Simchan Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'ichnisani b'Gan Eden. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made me happy, and He brought me into Gan Eden. Rav Chaim Falachi says, why are we mentioning Gan Eden? He got kicked out of Gan Eden. We're talking about after Shabbos. So he's saying, like, maybe after he did tshuva he went back, but we never find such a thing. I'm not bothered by this so much. I would say just the fact that he was in Gan Eden, even if it was for a few hours, that's like, it's a hush of a thing, and he's thanking Hashem for that opportunity that no one else in the world ever had, really.
He was still in the high from his visitor.
Yeah. But Rav Chaim Falaji doesn't like that. Veherani Abba Malchias Elu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him these four kingdoms, Bavel, Madai, Madai is Media, or really Madai and Persia go together, Madai Paras, Moikdon, Macedonia, which is, you know, Alexander the Great, who became like the king of Greece, was originally from, he was the son of Philip of Macedonia. So Moikdon Pashas means Yavon. Va'aram, and Aram, I'm 90% sure that it really should say Edom. Does it say Edom?
It doesn't, but I know a lot, sometimes in Tanakh it mixes it around.
Yeah, Aram and Edom?
Like in Divya Yavon, it says that when Ochaz was the king, it says that different nations came you know, into Yehuda to start conquering. So it says that Aram came and they took a lot from themselves. And it says Edom.
Aha.
Because that doesn't make sense even at Edom, because that was in the south and Edom was. That was
right, right, right. So we basically just mentioned the Arba Golios, Bavel, Paras, Amadai, Yavon, and Edom. If it says if when it says Aram, it either means Edom or it's supposed to say Edom, it makes sense. Veherani David ben Yishai, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu showed me David ben Yishai, Moshe la'asid lavai, that he's going to rule over everything in the future. So that's what made Adam Rishon happy. The fact that Hashem gave him this opportunity to show him everything that's going to happen. Does anyone bring this Gemara? No, none of the Mefarshim bring this Gemara. But there's a Gemara that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Rishon everything that's going to happen in all the generations. And he wrote, I think he wrote it down. It's called Sifra the Adam Rishon, something like that. Now there's an interesting thing that's a shtickle famous. V'lokachti mishnei sai, this is still Adam Rishon speaking. V'lokachti mishnei sai shivim shana, I took from my years, 70 years, Vohisafti al yamov, and I added it to his years, to his days. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Yomim al yamei melech taisif, days upon the days of the king shall be added. Shneisov k'may davodar, years like generation and generation. Meaning, Adam Rishon is saying that I took 70 years from my own years and I gave it to David Melech. Yomim al yamei melech taisif. It's talking about David Melech, who was the melech. Adam Rishon added 70 years to his to the 70 years of David HaMelech. Adam Rishon added 70 years to the life of David HaMelech. That's what I meant to say.
David HaMelech lived for 70 years?
Oh. So, David HaMelech lived for 70 years. So what do you mean you added 70 years? He only had 70 years. So the Marzu is bothered by this question. And he basically brings a girsa from the Yalkut Ruveni that says that's not supposed to say hoisafti, but rather nasati. Not that I added, but that I gave it to him. So David HaMelech lived 70 years, and those 70 years are ascribed to the 70 years from Adam Rishon. The Adam Rishon apparently wasn't supposed to live, was supposed to live longer than he did, and he gave 70 years to David HaMelech. I guess this also is implying that if the Adam Rishon didn't do it, then David HaMelech would never have lived, or would have lived a very short amount of time, like less than a year or something. The Radal says an interesting idea that if you look in the Pesukim in Parshas Bereishis, Noach, it gives you the years, how long each person lived from, like, let's say, Adam all the way to Avraham Avinu. It says the years of each person. But only by Adam Rishon does the Torah use a very interesting formula. It says in Sefer Bereishis, Perkei, Parshas Bereishis, says, Vayu kol yimei Adam asher chai tishim shana, shloshim shana v'chami shana. 930 years. Yeah, the lashon of the pasuk is these are the days that vayu yemei adam kol yemei adam asher chai. These are all the days that he lived. That implies that I'm just telling you the days that he lived. What he was supposed to live. That's not what we're talking about. We're just giving you like the practical. This is how long he lived, implying that there's a different number that's like how he was supposed to live, but we're just telling you how much he actually lived. Like the Radal points out that this lashon is also used by Avraham Avinu. It says Asher Chai by Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu died when he was 175. And Chazal tells us really he was supposed to die when he was 180, like Yitzhak died when he was 180. But Hashem took away 5 years of Avraham Avinu's life so that he won't see an Esav going off the derech. Right? So too, it says Asher Chai by Adam Rishon, to say that he lived to be 930. Really, he was supposed to live longer than that. And Hashem took, and according to Perek Eliezer, he took away 70 years from himself and he gave it to David HaMelech. So, in order to a little bit get a better understanding of this, we turn to the Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. This is the last Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Now, I'll tell you what the Ran says, basically, and then I'll tell you, in a way, how the Ran is slightly differs from Pirkei d'Eliezer, and then I'll tell you a part that I heard on the Ran. Basically, the Ran says, this is Mamash the last piece of Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. When we say in davening on Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur, we say Udvorcha Emes V'Kayim La'ad, that the words of Hashem are Emes and everlasting. So what does it mean that they're Emes V'Kayim La'ad? So it says, basically, that he brings a Medrash Agada, which if you look in the Ezva Hadar Gemaras, it tells you to look at Psikta Rabasi Piska Mem. That David HaMelech said to Adam, said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Loi kach gazata al Adam, didn't you make such a decree on Adam Rishon that ki biyom achalcha mimenu mois tamus, the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you're gonna die. We spoke about this a little bit last week, right? Amar Lahem, right? And David HaMelech is arguing to Hashem, and just like by Adam Rishon that didn't happen, it's not true. He didn't die the day he did it. So too, you know, when you say something, maybe it's not true necessarily. He's like, arguing with what Hashem says. So Hashem said, no. B'shem ha-pirashti yoyim sheyesh l'cha yoyim mishari amarti. Who, did I explain to you that I meant his day? I meant my day. And the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kelev shanim be'enecha kiyoyim esmel. So one day for us, one day for Hashem is 1,000 years for us. Right? So Hashem saying, I never said that I mean a day in his day, I meant my day, and my day is 1,000 years. So really I meant to say that if Adam Rishon eats and eats a das, he's going to die within 1,000 years. And Taka, he died within 1,000 years. But listen to the Lashon of the Medrash. It says, Amarti hayoyim ani neisen lai, I'm giving him a day, I'm giving him. What does that mean? Tsham me'ayis ushleishim shana, I gave him 930 years. And I'm leaving for his descendants 70 years. And that basically, like Hashem is telling David Malach, like that's where you're living from. You're living from Yimei Shnei Seinu Lehem Shivim Shana, right? It's like you're living from that extra 70 years that Adam Rishon didn't live. The Medrash doesn't speak it out, but it could be that that's what it's referring to. But from this Medrash, it sounds like it's not pshat that Adam Rishon gave 70 years to David HaMelech, like it says in Pirkei d'Eliezer. From this Medrash, it sounds like Hashem said that you're going to have to die within 1,000 years. And Hashem decided what's going to be within 1,000 years? 930. I mean, he could have lived to like 999 years and 364 days. But Hashem decided to take him away 70 years early, before 1,000 years, and gave those 70 years to the Toldos of Adam Rishon. Okay, so that's what it means. Udvarcha emes v'kayim la'ad. That's what the Ran says. Udvarcha emes v'kayim la'ad. The words of Hashem are emes. It's truth. He said, "B'yam achalcha mimenu ma'is tamus," and it's always going to last. That what Hashem says is true and is always lasting. It doesn't. It's not changing. It just you misunderstood what it meant. That's more or less the part over here that I heard a little bit of a deeper understanding of this idea over here. From Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita. Rav Moshe Shapiro says like this, that if I understand what he was saying correctly, which that could be is a big stretch, but if I understand what he's saying correctly, this is what he's saying. He brings from the Ramami Pano, the great Italian Kabbalist. The Ramami Pano says that the word, the nistar of the word din is malchus. Meaning there's a type of gematria where you calculate the gematria of a word by spelling out the letters used to spell that word and then taking away the letter itself. Meaning, the word din, if you take the word din is spelled dalad yud nun. So if you spell out the letters of dalad yud nun and take away, let's say, the dalad yud nun, then you'll get to the word malchus. Dalad yud nun is Dalet lamet tough dalet. Yud is yud vav dalet. Nun is nun vav nun. If you take away the, if you add up all those numbers and you take away dalet yud nun, you'll get to 496. I already calculated before. I didn't do that on the spot. 496, and the word machlus is equal to 496. What's the idea? So Rav Moshe Shapiro apparently said that the idea is that the underlying idea that's driving din is machlus. That's the hidden thing behind the din. Meaning that why does Hashem do, let's say like this, why does Hashem do din in the world? Why does Hashem bring din? In order to bring out his machlus, to show the machlus. The whole point of doing din is to show the machlus. It could be that's why it says, that's why we say in Rosh Hashanah, we say imru lefanim malchus kedesh tamluchuni aleichem. Right, on dafka on Rosh Hashanah, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, which is yom din, the avoda is to speak about the malchus of Hashem. Why? Because if the whole point of din is to bring out the malchus, so I'll make a deal with you. I'll bring out the malchus without having to go through the din. That's the Indian of saying Malchus. We're skipping the din and going straight to the Malchus. That's one way of understanding it. So he says that's also the pshat. Oh, so he says like this. Now, sometimes it appears that you might have a contradiction between the din and the Malchus. Meaning, sometimes it appears that the din is that there should be no Malchus. But he says that based on what we just said, that can't be. Because if the whole point of din is to bring out malchus, there cannot be a contradiction between din and malchus. So what he says, so what must happen is that you must have misunderstood what the din is supposed to be. You think the din is something that's a contradiction to the malchus. It's not true. You misunderstood what the din is. Let's bring out the point like this. He brought out the point like this. Chazal tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created the world, we spoke about this in Per Gimel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created the world, so he wanted to create the world with just Midas Adin. And then he decided, no, that's not going to work out. The world won't last with just Din, so we have to make it with also Rachamim, besides the Din. So what does that mean? Hashem changed his mind? Hashem didn't change his mind. It's speaking to us. You would have, really, the optimal situation is that the world will exist through din. That everyone's going to do the right thing, and that's what Hashem wants. You do the right thing, and then the world will exist from din. But Hashem knows that the world can't exist like that, because people don't always do the right thing. And then inevitably, the world will just be destroyed, and then there won't be any malchus. Because if there's no world, and there's no people, then there's no malchus, because what are you the melech of? Ein melech b'layam, right? It's what are you king of? So it has to be that when you're creating the world, you have to create it in a way that it'll last. Otherwise, it won't last. So it has to be that Hashem took Rachamim and Din together to create the world. The optimal is the Din, but you know you need Rachamim because otherwise it won't work. So he says that's the same shot over here. When Hashem said that other Rishon, the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you're going to be killed and destroyed, it can't mean that it can't mean literally that he's going to be destroyed that day, because that would be a steer to the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't speak this out, but we'll speak it out. We'll say it like this. If Adam Rishon died the day that he was born, yeah, what would happen in the world? So if you understand, we spoke about before, Machlekes, if Cain and Hevel were already born. If they weren't born, so for sure, well, there's no Malchus, because Adam dies, there's no Cain and Hevel, so there's no continuation, and that's it, that's the end of the world. If Cain and Hevel were already born, according to those opinions, so you'd have to say that Hashem, and when the Mefarshim says this, I think the Marzu says it somewhere earlier in the parak. The Marzu sort of speaks this out. Hashem knew that Cain is going to die in the Mabul. Hashem knew that Cain is going to kill Hevel, and Hevel is not going to have any kids and nor continuation, and Cain is going to be destroyed in the Mabul, and all his descendants are all going to be destroyed in the Mabul. And so there's no continuation if Adam Rishon would die dafka that day. There's no way for the world to last, and that would be a steer to the malchus. Elamai, rather what does it mean that Hashem said that the day you eat from the Eitz Hadas you're going to die? It means that it has to mean the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the day of Adam Rishon. And Hashem is saying, I'm giving you 1,000 years, not that I'm giving you dafka today. And then 1,000 years, so Adam Rishon is going to have more kids, which he did. Shase, Shemimenu, Hushta, Sa'ilam, the world continued because of Shase. We're all descendants of Shase. Pashas, no one's a descendant of Cain and Hevel. That's not Pashas, but Pashas is no one's a descendant of Cain and Hevel. It's, we need, we, it has to be that that's what Hashem meant. Something is Udvarcha Emes V'Kayim Lo'ad. What Hashem said, Yamachachem Imen Umayis Tamus, that line is always going to be true. It just, our understanding of that line, you know, there's a Havamina there, it means that the day, little day of our days, and then the obvious pshat is that it means the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Kayim Lo'ad. You have to have Udvarcha Emes and Kayim Lo'ad. Otherwise, it doesn't work. That's what I think Rav Moshe Shapiro said. Okay. Let's go weiter. V'nasati lekel, and I gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu renen v'shevach v'zemer b'maisav. Renen v'shevach v'zemer b'maisav. Praise and praise and praise for his deeds, for his actions. You can be like a little art scrolly and say that Renan means this type of praise and Shevach means this type of praise and Zemer means Renan, Shevach, they all mean praise. The nuances between the words are, you know, they're not so easily discernible. But they all mean different types of praise. Hashem means, other mission said, I'm going to give all these different types of praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemba, it says in the Pasuk, B'maisa Yadecha Arayanim. There's three lashonos of it that other mission uses of praise. It says lahagid b'boker chasdecha, so like a lashon of haggadah, which the Radal point, it says that's shevach. And then we said lozame l'shivcha elyain, that's zemer, and then it says b'maisi d'charanin, that's remen. It says that these three lashonos are connected the three musical instruments that we're talking about: osor, novel, and kinar. And then he brings another medrash that says that when other missions said Mizrach L'Mashabbos, so three groups of Malachi Asharis came down with him, and they were holding Nevalim, Kinaris, V'chol Klishir, and they said with him Mizrach L'Mashabbos. It's like there's like three types of praises going on, three types of musical instruments. So all of this we're talking about how we're going to go praise Hashem, but what are we praising Hashem for? We didn't actually start the parak. All of this was like the introduction to this chapter of Tehillim, where he says that I'm going to go praise Hashem. What time is it? Okay, whatever. Ma godol ma'asecha Hashem mi'oyin amku machshavisecha. How great are your deeds, Hashem? Exceedingly profound are your thoughts. Mi'oyin amku machshavisecha. So what's ma godol ma'asecha Hashem? Hischil mefor u'mahalal Hashem elyoin. Other mission began to be mefire, to extol and to praise the name of the great one of Hashem. Va'omer, he said, ma godol ma'asecha Hashem, how great are your deeds, Hashem. Avol la'omek machshavisecha, but to the depth of your thoughts, tohaim rabba l'ma'id ma'id. It's very, very deep. Shneimar ma'id amku machshavisecha. Very deep are your thoughts. Meaning, from what we see in the world, it's awesome. It's like ma godol ma'asecha. But the thoughts behind it, that's like even like that's way beyond us. That we can't even give you praise about, because like we have no musig of what's going on in the thoughts of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay. Now the next line let's read it like this. Next two psukim. Ish ba'ar lo yeda. A boor cannot know, or a boor doesn't understand this. A boor is an English word. It means like a guy who doesn't know things. He's pashut like a boor. Bar and boor are probably very much related. Bar in Lashon HaKadosh and boor in English. Uchsil yavin azayis, and a fool can't understand this. That meaning, I'm going to say something that's so pashit, but only a fool or a boor can understand this. What is that thing? Befrayach rishoyim kamei esav, when the wicked bloom like grass, sprout, vayatitza kopali oven, and doers of iniquity blossom. I would have said that vayatitza means sprout, but okay. It's only to destroy them for eternity. This is so the other version is saying this is so pashut. The Rishonim are growing and waxing and being matzliach, and they're being successful in the world, but all of it is lihisham damadayad, in order to destroy them. Rashi in Tehillim says something that this is mamish what we've been talking about a bunch of times already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives schar to Rishoyim in Olam Hazeh, so that when they go to Olam Abba, you know, they get what they deserve. We spoke about this a bunch of times. That's what Hashem does. So it looks like the Rishoyim are being matzliach. They're growing and they're blossoming and whatever. But really, it's to destroy them. Like Sham Da Hayat. And other missions say, it's so partial. You have to be like an idiot to not understand this. That's more or less what he's saying in these two psukim. So that's what the Medrash says. Ish bar lo yeda, a boorish man cannot know. So the Medrash is at this point is going to harp on the fact that we said it in two ways. A boorish man cannot know, and a fool ksil doesn't understand this. So what's the difference between like a boorish man and the foolish man? Adam shu bar mi Yisrael v'leilamad bina, a man who's the boor from amongst Klal Yisrael and he never learned bina. He never know a deep understanding of things. So Chachmi Yisrael Yilamdehu Biyah. The Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, they could teach him understanding of things. Shne'emar, it says in the Pasuk, Binu Boyarim Ba'am. The Boyarim of the Am, like Lashon of like Bar, the boors of the nation are going to understand. Binu, they can come to understanding. The other gear says, Yilamdehu Torah. The Marzu points out, not Yilam Dehu Bina, Yilam Dehu Torah. They'll teach him Torah, and then he can understand this idea. Aval Adam Baki, Bo'evdei Gilulim, but a man who's an expert, he's Mamish a Baki, he's a professor, right? Marzu says he knows, he's Baki in all types of Chachma, Bo'evdei Gilulim, but from amongst the Goyim, take out the Vav, that's what the Marzu says, Huksil, he's a fool. Lama, why? She'enu Yedei Adivrei Torah, because he doesn't know Adivrei Torah. And he'll never come to understand these type of things. Shemr says the pasuk "Aksil lo yavin azayis." Aksil doesn't understand zayis. And who says this? Somebody says this, that zayis refers to Torah. Zayis ha Torah. The Radal in Lamed Ches says ve'ein zayis ala Torah. It's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That zayis is referring to Torah. Fine. So there's two types of people that don't understand it. One is like a Jewish boor who, if you just explain it to him and teach it to him, he could understand it. And one is a Goyish boy that he'll never be able to understand because he has no connection to Torah. What's the idea that we're talking about? Befreyach Rishoyim k'may Esev. When Rishoyim grow like grass. Bizman sh'ata roya Rishoyim sh'rabu k'may Esev l'chaseh p'nei haaretz. At the time that you see that Rishoyim are multiplying like grass in order to cover the face of the world. V'hititzu kol ovdei avodah zarah. And all the ovdei avodah zarah are sprouting. Shehem umayseim oven ra, because ovdei avodah zarah, them and their deeds are evil iniquities. The Radal adds the word tzapei li mayse mashiach. Look for the days of Mashiach. I mean, when things look really bad, that's when you look. Oh, Mashiach is about to come. When we see that the Rishonim are being very much successful. The harishonim shirabu kamei esav. These Rishonim, these wicked men that multiplied like grass. Kadosh Baruch Hu only allowed them to multiply in order to destroy them from Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Lihishom Dam Adayad, to destroy them forever and ever. And the continuation of the Pasuk is, and you, Hashem, Morim Lo'ilam, you're always exalted, you're never going to be destroyed. Ra'a David Malach. Now this is an interesting Gemara. This is based on an interesting Gemara and an idea. Ra'a David Shirabu Rishoyim Kamei Esav L'chasis Pnei Kol Haaretz. David Malach saw that Rishoyim are multiplying like grass in order to cover the whole face of the world. V'tisa kol avdei avodah zarah shehem ma'aseh oven. And all the avdei avodah zarah were sprouting like because they're considered, you know, doers of iniquity. V'lo'i amr haleluka. And David Malach, when he was writing Sefer Tehillim, he saw this, he didn't write Hallelujah. He didn't want to write the word Hallelujah. And Ad Shira Shein Asidin Lehishamid. Until David Malach saw that the Rishoyim are destined to be destroyed. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Yitamu Chatoyim in Oretz. The Chatoyim from the Oretz are going to be, the sins of the land are going to be stopped. Bochinav Shes Hashem, my soul blesses Hashem, Hallelujah. That's the first place where it says Hallelujah in Sefer Tehillim. It's really it's also a Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Breder Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi Kuf Gimel Parshas Omer David. 103 prokim of Tehillim, David HaMelech said, "V'lo yomer haleluka," and he never said haleluka at shiro b'mapaltan shirishon until he saw the downfall of Rishon. Shemem it says in the pasuk, "Yitavol chayim in ha'aretz chatoim." We're gonna sins are gonna be stopped from the land. Are gonna be the sins are gonna be gone from the land. Rishon ha'edenam, and there won't be any wicked people. Baruch nefshes Hashem haleluka. There he said haleluka. There's a famous Gemara about this. You guys still know this Gemara. On the next daf in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud, the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir had a neighbor who was bothering him a lot. So Rabbi Meir was davening that this neighbor should die. Right? So his wife Bruria came over to them and said, "Why are you davening that he should die? What are you thinking?" Because it says the pasuk Yitamu Chatoim Min Oretz Rishayim Eidam. It doesn't say Yitamu Choytim Min Oretz. The choytim should be finished from the land. It says yitamu chatoim, the sins should be finished. Right? If you get rid of the sins, then mimela rishayim eidenam. There won't be any rishayim because they won't be doing sins. So don't daven that they should die. Daven that they should become balei tshuva. And the Gemara says, and then the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir daven that they should become balei tshuva, and they became balei tshuva. So it seems like there's a shtick of machlekes over here. How to understand the pasuk? Is Yitamu Chatoim talking about the Rishonim themselves? Or is Yitamu Chatoim talking about, and in fact, in Medrash Seichot on Tehillim, it says, Yitamu Chatoim, Yasmimu Chaitim. Yasmimu, they should become Tmimim, they should become like wholesome and do tshuva. Is that the pshat in the pasuk? Or does it mean no? Those people who are doing the avirah should be destroyed. There's different explanations over here. But our manager is also going with, it seems like they're going to be destroyed, not that they're going to be chayzer b'tshuva. Okay. Va'az, at that point, when the chatoim and the rishayim are going to be destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech miroimam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the great exalted king, ba'al yoinim uvetachtoinim, in the upper worlds and in the lower worlds, Shemar, because it says the pasuk V'ata Moraim La'ilam Hashem. You, Hashem, are always going to be exalted. And the Radal says, okay, whatever. That's basically it. And he says that this idea is berumas in the word Hallelujah, because Hallelujah, the Gemara says, is a portmanteau of two words, Hallelu and Ka, praising of Ka. Ka is Hashem. Right? And but the word Ka, he doesn't exactly say it like this, but I want to say it like this, that the word Ka means Yud and Hey. Yud, the Gemara says, Hashem used to create Olam Abba, and Hey is what Hashem used to create Olam Hazeh. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the Melech Al Yoinim V'Tachtainim, is Merum is in the Hallelu Ka, in the Ka of the word Hallelu Ka. But Ki Hine Yivecha Hashem, the next pasuk, right? Pasuk Tes, Kine Evecha Hashem. For behold, your enemies, Hashem, Kine Evecha Yevedu. Behold, they're going to be your enemies shall perish. You spread the kol poyei oven. The doers of iniquities will be dispersed. What's that talking about? Amru Yisrael, Lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael said in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbon Kol Olam, Master of the Universes, Nosnu Oyvecha Aleinu Oil Kasha Al Tzavarenu. Your enemies have given upon us a heavy yoke on our necks. Aval Anu Yodim Shehin La'avedin. But we know that they are destined to be destroyed. Shemar, it says in the pasuk, Kihine Oyvecha Yevedu. Behold, your enemies are going to be destroyed. V'chol Harishoyim Yisperdu Kimaitz Lefnei Ruach. And all the Rishoyim are going to be dispersed like the chaff in front of the wind, like when you winnow the wheat, so like the chaff just like flies away in the wind, and the grain is gonna fall down straight, and the chaff is gonna be blown away. Shneimar, it says the pasuk Hine Yevecha Yevedu. Your enemies are gonna be destroyed. Shneimar Gispardo Kol Poyei Oven. Fine. We'll stop over here, I guess. Kine Yevecha Hashem, Kine Yevecha Yevedu? I don't know. I mean, I didn't look in the Mefarshim, but I noticed that, but I didn't try looking it up.
Poetic.
Yeah, it is poetic. Okay.
We don't learn like that usually. We usually
we darshan it or try to say something. Yeah, Mistama, someone says something about it. I didn't have the chance to. Okay.
Oh, I never realized this part in Tulum was so deep.
What? Yeah.
I say it all the time.
And every parak is like this. You go through the Midrashim and Tehillim, like every parak, line by line, you could like see like every. Okay. Good to watch.